Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. There's a classic childhood gambit. I used it. My kids use it on me. You probably used it. Your parents probably used it. It goes like this. You ask both parents the same question, but separately, hoping one of them will give you the answer that you want. Can I have a sleepover? Can I have more time, screen time for Roblox? Can I have ice cream before dinner? Can I borrow the car? You approach one parent and then the other. And as a kid, you're hoping, not for unity, but for a crack between them, a little daylight that you can just wedge open. My wife and I try to have a united front. We try to be on the same page, to anticipate how the other would respond. We're not perfect at it, of course, but the goal is that if the kids hear an answer from one of us, they're hearing an answer from both of us. I've been thinking about that dynamic when I hear the opening of John's gospel. Not so much about the parenting or strategies of manipulation, but unity. Because John begins his gospel not with a birth story or shepherds or angels, but with a big, big claim that God and the Word, God and Jesus, are united with a depth and strength beyond anything that we can fully comprehend. That the voice of Jesus is the voice of God. That the activity of Jesus is the activity of God. That the heart of Jesus is the heart of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John's gospel doesn't gently warm us up. The author doesn't ease us into his theology. He starts out at full volume, with everything turned up to 11. He reaches all the way back to Genesis, to creation itself, and says, "The one who speaks light into being, the one who creates order from chaos, the one whose breath animates every living thing. This is the same one you will later meet in flesh and blood, walking the roads around Jerusalem, breaking bread with sinners, speaking words of forgiveness and life." If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. John is telling us that there is no separation between them, no division. No, maybe God feels this way and Jesus feels this way. The love you see in Jesus is God's love. The compassion that Jesus shows is God's compassion. The way Jesus stands with the poor and heals the broken, lifts up the forgotten, confronts the powerful, disarms fear, and pours out his life. This is not Jesus doing his own thing. It's not Jesus softening the edges of a sterner divine parent. Jesus is not the nice parent whose answer you hope will override the other. Jesus is the Word who was with God and is God. This is the heartbeat of John's gospel, that in Jesus, God becomes visible, tangible, knowable. John goes on to say, what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. life and light. John is saying, look at Jesus, and there's the life that God longs to give the world. Look at Jesus, and there's the light that God shines into every human darkness. When Jesus feeds hungry people, that is God's deep desire, that no one go without daily bread. When Jesus calls fishermen and tax collectors and other marginalized folks into his community, that is God's deep desire, that strangers become siblings. When Jesus forgives his enemies, even from the cross, that is God's unwavering commitment to mercy. When Jesus rises from the dead, that is God's desire that life, not death, has the final word. Pay attention to Jesus, because this is the clearest picture you will ever receive of God's character and God's dream for you and for this whole world. And that matters, because there are a lot of competing images of God out there. There has always been. Some people imagine God as distant and uninterested. Others imagine God as constantly disappointed, an exacting judge whose main posture toward us is irritation. Some see God as an accountant of moral failures, keeping a running ledger of your every shortcoming. Others treat God like a cosmic vending machine. Insert prayer, receive outcome. But if you want to know who God is, look not to your own projections, your fears, your assumptions. Look to Jesus. Look to the one who will embody grace and truth. Look to the one who takes children into his arms. Look to the one who weeps at the tomb of his close friend. Look to the one who touches the untouchable, who brings the outsider in, who kneels to wash his friend's feet. Look to the one who lays down his life. That is God. That is the Word made flesh. That is light shining in the darkness. And the darkness does not overcome it. John wants us to know from the outset that this unity of God and the Word, this light and life that is embodied in Jesus, is stronger than any darkness that the world can muster. It's stronger than fear, stronger than cruelty, stronger than despair, stronger than death itself. So on this first Sunday in Advent, as we hear again these cosmic, poetic, almost overwhelming opening words of John's gospel, hold fast to this truth. There is no separation between God and Jesus. To see Jesus is to see God. To hear Jesus is to hear God. To follow Jesus is to walk in the very life and light that God speaks into this world. And that light still shines. And the darkness has not, will not, and cannot overcome it. Amen.